from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll get a preview of this year's Butler Arts Fest, Time and Timeless.
I'll get to meet pianist Jiyoung Jung.
And I'll find out about the new Before I Die Festival. And we'll have that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Time and timelessness is the theme of this year's Butler Arts Fest. Sharon Gamble invited Butler's Jordan College of Arts Dean Ron Caltabiano to expound on the theme and talk about some highlights among the dozens of events at Butler and around our community.
Tell me about time.
Time. You know, the arts just work in time.
It's true.
All the arts work in time.
Life is short, art is long, so there's time right there.
There you go. And we play with time, you know. Music, obviously, we work in beats and pulses. And then sometimes we try and stop time with music. When a dancer leaps across the floor, sometimes we hold our breath, and that makes us think that we're stopping time. And when we're watching a play, sometimes two dialogues might happen at the same time, and then we feel like time is speeding up. And how about when something is repeated and repeated and repeated? Sometimes it makes it feel like things are speeding up and speeding up, and sometimes just the opposite happens, and it makes us feel like time is taking forever to go by.
And mellow out.
And that's how creators and interpreters and artists of all sorts play with time.
I love it. How do you choose, remind us how you choose the theme for an arts fest?
Well, you know, I have this amazing faculty at Jordan College of the Arts at Butler, and the ideas percolate from the faculty, and my executive staff and I discuss it, and we work them out and hash them out over a few years.
Now, and that's, speaking of time, that's important because you, given the caliber of visiting artists that you are booking, you're not deciding. You didn't decide it last semester.
No, we're working several years in the future.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you about future themes. I'm not going to ask you about that yet. But let's talk a little bit about what were a couple of the first ideas when you coalesced your group said. Time. Yes, that's it.
It started by thinking about the bicentennial.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact. And then big cycles and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, we could have gone with a straight approach to the bicentennial. But that didn't quite fit well for us. And we decided to think about time in a more general way. And that led us to this particular discussion. And we still are approaching the bicentennial. In fact, we're fortunate enough to have the Governor's Arts Awards in this bicentennial year. Mm-hmm. And that of course, looks to that. But we wanted to look at time in a more general way, in a way that affects arts in different ways.
Mm-hmm. I want to highlight, because you have some big names, Kurt Elling and Cameron Carpenter, the just absolutely unparalleled organist. But I'd also like to talk about some of the chamber music. Mm-hmm. Doing Songs of the Earth.
Yeah, indeed. Some people refer to that as Mahler's greatest work. Das Lied von der Erde in the original German. Mm-hmm. A work for two voices and either orchestra or, in our case, piano. It's a grand piece, six songs that make a nearly hour-long cycle. That is so rich in its texture and its concepts of eternity and love and passion. And
great, grand, sweeping.
It is indeed, and to hear these artists perform this piece. It's going to be rather spectacular in Eitz and Duckwall Theater on Butler's campus.
And at the risk of sounding way too romantic, capital R, you know, I always think that I hear Mahler's irregular heartbeat in everything he wrote because, you know, he was so aware of the passage of time and,
exactly.
and the shortness of life. And I feel like I hear that here as well. The Eroica Trio.
Indeed.
Fabulous performers.
They are. I've known the Eroica Trio since my school days at Juilliard. And it's so great to have them here at Butler. You know, the highlight of this performance of theirs is the Messiaen Quartet for the End of Time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, arguably maybe one of the 10 great pieces of the 20th century, chamber music literature. It is such a profound piece. And its origin is so striking. You know, it was...
Yeah, tell us that story.
It was written in a concentration camp in 1941 for other performers who were... interned at the camp. And you might think then that it would be morose or hopeless, but it is absolutely the opposite of that. It is perhaps the most hopeful, the most uplifting piece of music you could possibly imagine. I think it's absolutely transcendent.
It was exactly the word that comes to my mind, that this will outlive where we are right now.
Oh, my goodness. It's one of those pieces that, you know, I have to listen to a couple of times a year, and I have to dedicate an evening to it because I, you know, it's not an evening's length piece. It's less than an hour long, but it's a piece that moves me to tears every time I listen to it. So I can't do anything else that night.
Wow. Talk about the power of music.
It is one of the most powerful pieces of music I know.
And not performed as often as it should be.
No, it's not a particularly easy piece of music to put together. It's an unusual ensemble. It is violin, clarinet, cello, and piano. So we don't have those popping up on every street corner.
Sure.
And it takes great players.
Which you will have.
Which we will have. My goodness, we will have.
And by the way, if you're intrigued by some of what we're talking about, you can go to butler.edu/artsfest.
Yes, or even more direct.
That's right.
butlerartsfest.com.
That's right. I forgot you got that a few years ago. So, and, you know, plan to spend some time there because you're going to see, oh, I've got to go see that, and I'm going to chart my course and go see that and see
Indeed.
This other thing as well.
We have some 40 events.
Wow. How do you... Talk to me about just keeping track of all that. Do you have scheduling software? Do you have you must have a dedicated team of project managers who are making this all happen.
What I have is an incredible staff of folks. You know, you would think that there's just great software out there that helps you do this, but instead, I have great people. This is something that takes many people working together over a very long period of time. You know, we talked about the themes going on into the future. We are mm-hmm. certainly programming now well into the future. And you can't do that with a lot of people at a lot of buildings, at a lot of different jobs, all working together.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about some of the student offerings in particular. And we're having this conversation around Leap Day, so I think we may need to explain why Butler Opera Theater is doing Pirates of Penzance and how that deals with time. Spoiler alert here.
well, you know, I won't go... too deeply
okay,
into
good.
It, but I will say that that doing Pirates has a particular reference to time, and to events that only happen on a particular day that occurs once every 4 years,
okay,
and that plays an important element in the plot of Pirates of Penzance.
and it's a slender little hook to perform something that is just pure joy.
It's a great, fun piece. We're doing it at Shortridge. We're doing it three times.
In Caleb Mills Auditorium.
Indeed we are.
Which has amazing acoustics.
It's a great space.
Yeah. Yeah. Fabulous.
And a historic space
in
Indianapolis.
Space. It's true. So one other student work I want you to explain to me. Portal 1812?
Hmm.
Yeah. What is this?
I'm so excited about this. We have, well, let me step back and talk about the concept of devised theater. Devised theater is a piece of theater that doesn't start with a script. Instead, a director will come in with a few concepts, a few ideas. And in this case, Darla came in with some music, a few snippets of text, some imagery, some sound, some movement. And she'll be with us. Darla Villani will be with us, or has been with us, all semester to work with our theater students and some music students and dance students to devise, to actually put the entire piece, to create an entire piece from the ground up, from these scraps, to create a new piece based on these elements, creating the entire piece from the ground up, creating a script, creating a structure, that will be Portal 1812.
And is the reference to the year 1812?
It's actually to the piece of music by Tchaikovsky.
Okay.
Darla started with a little snippet of music from that piece, and that's where the title comes from.
So what fun. So, but at some point after it's been devised, it is committed in some way?
It is. So
because
it's not
there's
improvised.
Multiple performances. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not improvised.
Okay.
So it is wholly created, and one could then write it down
right.
after the
right.
fact. But it is developed by the performers as the piece is created.
How fun.
Oh, it's great fun, and it's such great training, and it's a great way of making theater.
Yeah. Absolutely fresh and unexpected,
absolutely.
I'm guessing.
And it's one of the ways that we like to work at Butler.
Yeah, yeah, fabulous. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the L.A. Percussion Quartet.
Who, yeah.
If you've not heard them live, do not miss this opportunity.
they're incredible. I got to know them when I worked on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in San Francisco
right.
for years and brought them to the series that I worked on in San Francisco, and they are an amazing group of performers that will just draw you into the music. You'll be on the edge of your seat, in part because sometimes they play so softly, which is an unusual thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't
for percussionists
from the title, you wouldn't expect that.
Right, but. but they'll have you on the edge of your seats because they're so subtle in the sounds that they get. It's just magical, and sometimes they'll just blow you away with their virtuosity as well. So it's just an amazing show.
A certain Afro-Caribbean group was sort of destined to be a part of this because of the name of the group.
Indeed. Yeah. Tiempo Libre. Latin Caribbean jazz is just something that's going to have the audience up on their feet at the Schrott Center on our final Saturday. You know, if you've ever downloaded something from iTunes or Amazon or any of those sites, it's just the music that gets you out of your chair. You know, I just occasionally will just put something on in the afternoon when I need a break. And
oral caffeine?
Indeed. Well, actually, I usually have a Coke in one hand.
And some good music in the other.
Indeed. And I shut my door, and then I can work for the rest of the
All
afternoon.
All right.
But Tiempo Libre is just a really hot Latin group. I think it's a great addition to Butler Arts Fest, especially during a year when our theme is time and timeless.
Absolutely. And something else that's timeless, and I really want to make sure we get this in, is the Peacemakers.
Indeed. The Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra has commissioned Aikens this year to write a large piece for chamber orchestra choruses and a number of soloists. With texts by historic peacemakers, Martin Luther King, JFK, numerous others, in a rather monumental setting of these pieces. Mm-hmm. The work includes videography, instrumental soloists, vocal soloists. It's a rather thrilling piece of music. It is the only piece of music that is on that evening, that the orchestra is doing mm-hmm. that evening. I think that it is going to be one of the most important things to happen in the music industry in Indianapolis this year.
Wow.
So I certainly encourage everyone to come to that.
And obviously, with more than 40 events, we haven't done justice to them, but is it fair to say that people will have a good time?
Do you think?
So sorry.
Sharon Gamble with Butler University's Jordan College of Arts Dean Ron Caltabiano. Butler Arts Fest 2016, built around the theme Time and Timelessness, takes place April 7th through the 17th. And you can find out about all the events from opera to jazz to chamber music to theater to the talks, all at butlerartsfest.com. Again, butlerartsfest.com.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. Dr. Jiyoung Jong was born in Gwangju, South Korea. She currently works as a piano instructor at Huntington University and Manchester University in Indiana. Dr. Jong completed a doctoral degree and master's degree in piano performance and organ performance at Ball State University, and she's also worked at Butler University. Later this month, she'll be performing at Eskenazi Hospital, and Travis DiNicola met with her to learn more.
Jiyoung, welcome to Art of the Matter. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Travis. Nice to meet you.
It's a real pleasure. And it's, I think, such a neat program that Eskenazi has been developing since they opened, featuring the visual arts, performing arts, written arts. We've talked about it on Art of the Matter in the past, and how important that to Eskenazi the arts are to healing and their belief in that. And I think it's just great that you're going to be playing the piano there a couple times, both coming up in March, at the end of March, as well as later in August. How did it come to be that that you were invited to play the piano at Eskenazi?
Actually, this is the second time,
yeah.
And I played before, and then the people really like it, and then especially, you know, the patients and the staff members and, you know, whoever, their friends and families, and they just came to me, and they really appreciate, and I really enjoyed playing a lot, and because I really want to share beautiful music,
mm-hmm.
especially for the audience, and they listen, and especially the performance time is at 2 o'clock, so it's kind of relaxing time. So
yeah.
I kind of, you know, play like a contrast, like upbeat and then, you know, downbeat, you know, some like, so they really enjoy. So, you know, I'm so happy to play again.
That's great that you're able to go back. So when you play, it's in the main sort of lobby, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it's in the lobby, so everybody can, you know, listen, because it's the, you know, really live,
yeah.
The space. And so people just, you know, very casually listen, and some people can sit down. And so it's really, you know, open space.
How's the sound there? How are the acoustics in that big space?
So I don't need a microphone.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people can sing with me too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and some people kind of, you know, play like a percussion or something, you know, with me, or some people just came to me the between pieces, great job.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate, because, you know, it doesn't need to be far away from the audience,
mm-hmm.
because that's the difference. And I really want to close to the audience as much as possible.
And you'll be playing for, what, about an hour or so?
Yes, the hour program, and mm-hmm. 2 to 3. And also, this time I want to combine the classical music,
yeah.
and then New Age music by Iruma. And
okay.
it's the Korean composer and Korean pianist. The reason is some people are not familiar with classical music. So this time maybe I want to play more familiar to some, you know, the people, so they
mm-hmm.
are more interested and they come, you know, to listen to me better.
So you're thinking a mix of both some classical as well as this Korean newer composer,
yes.
contemporary uh-huh. composer.
Uh-huh.
What's his music like?
His music is like, you know, it's like New Age music.
Mm-hmm.
It's very light, and then, you know, the melody is very strong. And so some people play Iruma's music in weddings prelude.
Okay.
And so some people just play like, you know, the, it's easy to understand. It's
mm-hmm.
not really hard.
Easy
music.
To listen to.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can, you know, enjoy playing for them too.
That's great.
And it's very short too. It's not like 30 minutes long.
Yeah. It must be interesting to think about what you're programming for a hospital, especially for the patients. You know, I mean, wanting to choose music that you think would be healing and soothing, I guess.
Yes, I really want to play with, you know, beautiful music, you know, because they are struggling a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, especially a lot of people these days struggle for many things, you know, economic reason or, you know, mental or psychological or, you know, a lot of issues. And so, but some people just come to that performance and, you know, very light.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I want to show, like, you know, some very strong music. And but, you know, it's like I just want a little bit, you know, the light music. Mm-hmm. And so people kind of relax more.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, very kind of happy music. So, you know, kind of they can, you know, make, you know, happy or, you know, something better.
Mm-hmm.
Mood. So if they're kind of very sad.
It's such an interesting thing, again, to have an arts program, whether the piano music that you're bringing or the other arts programs that both visual and performing artists are bringing to Eskenazi there at that hospital. Very different, I'm sure, than a lot of your usual performances. I know that you're a professor both at Huntington and Manchester University.
Yes.
Yeah, and you teach piano as well as organ. And...
Yeah, yes, I teach piano and organ. And mm-hmm. So, you know, program-wise, I consider who listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, audience are very important. You know, so when I play the recital at the college, I choose more academic program.
Yeah.
And, you know, some church, I play more church music. So
okay.
Because they enjoy more, and mm-hmm. they, because I want to communicate, because I don't want to be isolated. Sometimes, you know, when we have a disconnection, it's kind of, that is the first and then last program. So I just want to come again, and then I want to have, you know, friendship, communication. That's the best. And then I really want to share together. And then I hope, you know, we kind of both have a worth time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so important to know your audience and to choose your music and your performance for that audience. When you don't have to do that, though, what do you really enjoy playing? What's something that you just really love to play when you get a chance to just play on your own or practice?
You know, I really like pop music a lot these mm-hmm. days, because, you know, some non-music major students, they really like the pop music. Since I work at Christian colleges, and, mm-hmm. you know, pop music is the kind of safety, you know, area, because rock is, you know, sometimes kind of a little bit harsh.
Sure.
So, and also very, the ballad, you know, like the Beatles or, you know, some British rock music is good too. Like, I like Pink Floyd a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I just
so
kind
do
of
I.
want to kind of put those music to piano.
Yeah.
So how is that kind of sound?
Huh.
And so really it's kind of interesting. And also, you know, Disney songs a lot, especially for this generation.
Mm-hmm.
They're really into those Disney songs. So I really want to communicate again this, you know, generation too, when mm-hmm. they were born in 1994, 1995. Because I hope everybody enjoys. So I like the variety of program.
Very cool.
So when I, you know, just I want to learn a lot of things too.
Mm-hmm.
So when I just, you know, practice by myself, I want to focus on more some young generation's music.
I'd love to hear you play some Pink Floyd sometime.
Yes!
That sounds fun. That sounds great. Now, you studied at Ball State, right?
Right.
Yeah. Is that what brought you to Indiana? Or
yes. Yeah, basically, so I was at the Gwangju, Korea,
mm-hmm.
and then one of piano faculties came to have a master class and to have a recital, and I was so inspired, and so I came, and I was thinking to come, and then so, you know, it's really nice, and it's really, you know, good opportunity, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, America has, you know, the big dream country, and also the 2 years ago, I became an American citizen, too.
Oh, congratulations.
So I can mm-hmm. vote for the president this November.
Well, and that'll be interesting, too.
Yeah.
But, well, that's great. I mean, so... you've done well here in Indiana. I mean, I know you've gone to school here. You've also, I know, have played at Butler and other universities, and then again now at Huntington and Manchester.
Yes. So, you know, I'm a Hoosier, and
yeah.
so I really like to live in Indiana, especially
mm-hmm.
Indianapolis is kind of a lot of variety of culture, and especially the downtown, I think it's kind of more developing
mm-hmm.
area. So, you know, a lot of, you know, local food, because I don't like kind of plastic, you know, Barbie and Ken's house. yes. You know, sometimes too perfect. But, you know, the local restaurants and local artists, I like local people. So, you know, local business. So I hope, you know, they develop more. And mm-hmm. that kind of makes our indie culture or music, everything.
Now, we've got a great history of jazz here in Indiana. Do you ever play jazz yourself or...
Not really, but I play the Kapustin's, you know, jazz music. And mm-hmm. then when I play his music, a lot of people say, oh, that's jazz music. And is he a classical music, you know, composer? And yes, he was a classical composer and came from Russia. But I played his piece and then a lot of people like that. So, you know, sometimes I want to play Kapustin's variation again. Hmm.
And mix it up just a bit, yeah.
Yes, it's, you know, again, it's people enjoy. And also sometimes I play the Rhapsody in Blue by mm-hmm. Gershwin. So mm-hmm. that's kind of, you
One
know,
of my
jazz
favorites.
Piece.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great piece. Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Well, Jiyoung, it's a real pleasure to get a chance to chat with you.
Oh, it's really great to, you know, chat with you too. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I'm looking forward to hearing your show at Eskenazi later this month on Monday, March 21st at noon. Again, that show is at noon. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with pianist Dr. Jiyoung Zhong. She'll be performing a free concert at Eskenazi coming up on March 21st as part of the Marianne Tobias Music Program at Eskenazi Health.
Hey, Sharon.
Yes, Travis.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, same to you.
Yeah.
Do you have a toast for me?
I do. I thought that'd be a nice way to kick off that calendar that we call.
What will we do about St. Patrick's Day?
About St. Patrick's Day. I'm not sure anyone's listening. They're all probably recovering from the parade.
I think you're right.
If it's Thursday night, Saturday morning, it may be a little bit different. But yes, here is my toast. I actually wrote this for an Irish toast competition a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And the toast goes, here's to a life of adventure. May every day reveal its treasures. Whether you've traveled the world or found the right girl, a good pint is still the best pleasure.
Oh, I love that. Oh, gosh, thanks. I hope that won an award.
It did. I did win one.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my Irish toast.
I like it.
Thanks.
I like it.
Thanks.
We're going to keep that in mind as we raise a glass to a number of arts events today. Raise a pint.
Mm-hmm.
That's indeed right. And everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, right?
So true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some things coming up. Actually, you have a little bit of time on this one, but I know tickets are kind of a hot commodity. On April 30th, Evening in Paris... This is a spectacular evening, and if you're like, I feel like I've heard about that before. Well, it happens every April. It's been going on for years. It is, we don't normally talk about fundraising events on our calendar, but I do want to talk about this one because, number one, it has spectacular food, French delicacies and iconic recipes, and delightful cocktails and wine. But number two, it supports the culinary arts program at Ivy Tech and raises money for scholarships so that students can visit Europe to learn more about authentic cooking techniques. So you can find out more about that at Ivy Tech's website, ivytech.edu/Paris, for more about that.
That sounds very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Hey, just a reminder about some St. Paddy's events going on the rest of this weekend, because on Sunday, the 25th annual Shamrock Run and Walk, it's the official run walk of the St. Paddy's Day Parade, starts at 10 a.m. on Monument Circle. And, that's on Saturday. Did I say Saturday? It's Saturday. Saturday is the parade. On the 19th, 10 a.m., Monument Circle. Irish Fest, IndieIrishFest.com has a great listing of all the other St. Paddy's Day's events that are still going on that just won't stop during the celebration.
They don't know how to stop celebrating those Irish, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had an Irish thesis advisor at Butler who used to quote, the quote goes, if an Irishman can, he was Irish, his mm-hmm. last name was Shaughnessy. If an Irishman can hold on to one blade of grass and not fall off the edge of the earth, he hasn't had enough to drink yet. He could, Dr. Shaughnessy could get away with that because he had the Irish blood. So don't forget, this weekend, Indianapolis Opera is doing its performances of the U.S. premiere of Jonathan Dove's Imagining, contemporary imagining of Mansfield Park, very popular story about Fanny Price, a young girl with a strong moral compass, and her rather tangled love life. So Indianapolis Opera
doing the U.S. premiere, which is quite a coup for them, of Mansfield Park this very weekend.
Excellent. Hey, the Symphony has released their Symphony on the Prairie season, 35th March Symphony on the Prairie season, and single tickets aren't available until April 25th, but you can get 10 ticket value packs now, and even some table subscriptions are available. A couple concerts that I'm really excited about, the one that they're opening the season with, Rhapsody in Blue. Which should just be fantastic.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. And then I think this is really cool. They're doing this the weekend of June 24th and 25th. They're doing a tribute to David Bowie. And so they'll be doing songs like Under Pressure and Changes and Space Odyssey, China Girl, Heroes, Rebel, all my favorites. But the symphony will be performing that, which I think sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Then, of course, they'll be doing the Star Spangled Symphony for 4th of July and a lot of other great concerts with featuring music of Billy Joel and Elton John and the Beatles and ABBA and Neil Diamond and all those other fun things. But worth checking out to see if you want to start planning your summer.
Fantastic.
Or Symphony on the Prairie.
Yeah, love it. Hey, speaking of planning, April might seem far away. It really isn't. Here is an art gallery exhibit to put on your calendar, especially if you're thinking about going out for First Friday. It's The Modern Alchemist, New Visions by Emma Overman, Johnny McKee, and John Klinkos. It's an exhibit featuring three Indianapolis-based artists who allow us to visually swim through their ethereally painted worlds. Imaginings, dreams, history and experiences are combined for each artist's alchemy, and the show is up April 1st through April 25th at Indiana Landmark Center in the Rapp Family Gallery. April 1st is First Friday, no joke.
Yes, it is. Hey, a great show. If you haven't had a chance to see it yet, Quincy Owens just made some incredible work, a lot of it featuring light and some really interactive things. That's part of the Gallery 924 exhibit this month. Absolutely worth checking out, especially check it out at night if you're walking by the gallery or driving by. The way that the artwork, because a lot of it is using different lights and or light going through water and other things, it projects really nicely, and it's just so cool. Great job, Quincy, on the show.
Wonderful. Clues Memorial Hall is hosting, also on Friday, April 1st, the Turtle Island Quartet with special guest Cyrus Chestnut.
Didn't they used to be the Turtle Island String Quartet? Did they drop the string?
I think it might not be the same personnel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I wouldn't swear to it, though.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's okay. I mean, Turtle Island String Quartet, you've got a good memory. That was a long time ago. Anyway, so they make soulful and sweet connections that delve deeply into both jazz and classical traditions. A range of composers from Jelly Roll Morton to Thelonious Monk and lots in between. Again, that's coming up Friday, April 1st at 8 o'clock at Clues Memorial Hall.
Very cool. Hey, congratulations to Taylor Martin and the Indie Magic Monthly Show. They are having their 100th show coming up. Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
I know.
It's magical.
So awesome. It is magical. It's going to be on April 5th at Theater on the Square, 7:30. Is when it is. It's their 8th anniversary, 100th show, and Swami B from the Blue Monkey Sideshow is going to be a special guest, and then also the Mistress of Ceremonies, Andrea Merlin, a good friend of Taylor Martin, will be there as well, and Cody Clark, who's a great young magician, is going to be performing as well that night, and some other special guests, too, I know will be there. Also, including, Francis Minotti, who was on Penn and Teller's Fool Us, and he actually did fool them. So, again, this is going to be on April 5th at 7:30 at Theater on the Square. It's the 100th show of Taylor Martin's Indie Magic Monthly.
We haven't talked about dance for a few minutes.
Let's do that right now.
Gregory Hancock Dance Theater is presenting Superhero, the Story of a Man Called Jesus, March 25th and 26th at 7 o'clock at the Tarkington at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel. You can probably guess the storyline from the title. It is just full of captivating music and amazing choreography. And you can learn more at GregoryHancockDanceTheater.org. Again, that's coming up March 25th and 26th.
Very cool. Hey, Heron School of Art and Design is bringing back their Heron Open, their mini golf mega art fundraiser. This was a fun thing they did a couple years ago, and it's certainly inspired some other people to start creating miniature golf courses by artists and designers. In fact, the IMA is going to have a great exhibit all summer long with a full 18-hole golf course designed by artists and different designers that people can play. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. But Heron is doing it first again, and they are doing it as a fundraiser on April 2nd, and you can get tickets now, and there'll also be tickets available at the door. Lots of different ticket prices depending on how early you want to get there and how many holes you want to play and all that stuff. You may remember when Heron did this before, the most popular hole was the whack-a-mole hole, mm-hmm. where they actually had people as the moles diverting the balls, so it should be a lot of fun. Again, this will be a fundraiser for Heron, and you can get more information at their website.
I'm going to put out the dare to local artists. So you know the logical next step is design full-sized art golf course.
Oh, my. That's big.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, you'll learn more about this actually coming up very soon with an interview, but Indiana Artisan Marketplace is coming back around Saturday and Sunday, April 9th and 10th. Art, fine craft, food, drink, demonstrations, and just all kinds of amazing things to look at, to sample, and maybe even to buy yourself at the Indiana Artisan Marketplace. 322 artisans from 63 Indiana counties represented, and actually one of the cool things that's going on this year is Heron School of Art and Design students majoring in furniture design will be there showing their furniture, showing and selling their furniture, I should say.
Very cool. Hey, Phoenix Theater has On Clover Road by Stephen Dietz running through April 10th. Basically, it's a play about a woman who is in a cult who has to rely on a stranger, trusting a stranger, to deprogram her from this cult. But what I'm really excited about is the director and the cast. Courtney Sale is directing it, Courtney from the IRT, and the cast includes some of my favorites, Jen Johansson and Rob Johansson, Mara Loeffler, and also Bill Simmons as well. So great cast. And Stephen Dietz is just a phenomenal playwright, so that's pretty cool that this is going to be at the Phoenix. It's at the Phoenix right now.
He's a really smart man, too. I got to drive him to the airport a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Dietz, yeah. And he's just like, oh, man, amazing.
Very cool.
Hey, you know, you can always learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis Indie Arts Guide. And Travis, could I hear your toast one more time?
Oh, sure, yes. Here's to a life of adventure. May every day reveal its treasures. Whether you've traveled the world or found the right girl, a good pint is still the best pleasure.
I love it. I love it. Well, have yourself a good pint of whatever your beverage of choice is, and we'll see you again next week with our calendar we call
What We Do.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
A new citywide event with community partners, including the IUPUI School of Nursing, the Spirit in Place Festival, the Raymond James Stutz Art Gallery, and more, aims to talk about how we manage and discuss death and dying. Jennifer Vine with the Before I Die Festival and Lee Dunnington-Jones with the Stutz Arts Gallery dropped by to tell Sharon about this Indianapolis version of an international movement.
A Before I Die Festival is an idea that has been going around for a while, right? I'm looking at Jennifer.
Well, it has. There were two events that were done prior, one in Wales and one in England, mm-hmm. and that's what we've modeled it off of. And so my boss on this project had heard about those festivals at a conference, mm-hmm. a nursing conference, and that sparked the idea with her.
And it's really fascinating to me because I know the Spirit in Place Festival is one of your partners, as well as Crown Hill and the IMA and the Raymond James Stutz Art Gallery. And I like it because it's an interesting intersection of something that's about being human, but we reach out and we use different art forms to help get the idea across.
Exactly. That was kind of my mentality from the get-go, is that you have to come at this topic in a diverse, series of ways. Certainly fine arts was one of the first things that we really hoped for, because I think art in general is always dealing with the big questions of love and death and all of that good stuff. So, but we definitely felt that there would be some sort of events that would appeal to this cross-section of people, and over here you're going to have something completely different, and so that gives people different ways to approach a very sensitive topic.
Mm-hmm. Lee, when you put out the call for entries, what kind of questions did you get from artists? Did they get it right away, or were they like, you want what?
They seemed to, and I was a little bit leery about the subject when Jennifer contacted me in, I guess it was late December, mid-December, and I had to think about it for a while. And then the call for artists took a little while to write, because I wanted people to submit art and not just dismiss the subject as depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've titled our exhibit, Can We Talk?, after the Joan Rivers famous line. So it's Can We Talk?, and then the subtitle is Memories, Miracles, and the Power of Things Unsaid. The call for artists was written to encourage people to look inside themselves, to appreciate what is the now, because it's not going to always be now. Mm. Things are not going to be the same forever, and to appreciate where we are. If they have memories that are troubling to them or especially poignant, to express that through their art. And each piece that I've been given has a story. And I have hardly had any questions. Most of the people that have replied, and I've got people from across the midsection of Indiana and even from Ohio, people that are interested in the death cafes and know what they are, and also people who never heard of a Before I Die festival,
mm-hmm.
but they all have something to say on the subject. So I am really excited about the subject. I've been getting some really cool and some really off-the-wall art. We've involved the Indiana Writers Guild. They're going to send us poets to recite on the subject. We're going to have a writer's workshop where people can look at the art and do a workshop on writing about it, or writing about their own feelings as they are evoked through the art.
Mm. This is probably a good time to define, what is a death cafe?
So a death cafe, and I am actually one of the people that founded Death Cafe Indy. So we've been in existence since January 2014,
mm-hmm.
and we meet every other month at the Athenaeum. But a death cafe is really just a space of non-judgment to talk about any topic related to death and dying that might move any attendee in the moment. Nothing for sale, nothing to promote as far as ideology. And you have to have cake and tea and coffee. You've got to have the sweets. So
I love that somebody in the healthcare profession just said that. Thank you. You gave us a little permission there.
Everything in moderation.
That's right. So those you've met several times then. What, without revealing the source, tell me some of the most unusual topics that have come up.
It has really, it's all over the map. It'll go from very nuts and bolts. People might have a question about, oh, have you heard of these green burial options, or, you know, this or that, to very heavy subjects like suicide, to extremely philosophical, you know, what someone may want to talk about, what they think is going to actually happen to them post-death. So it really does run the gamut, and I've learned a lot from it, just hearing people's stories and what is compelling to them. I think it sometimes feels a little bit safer to talk to strangers for some reason versus family on the topic, and I think that's why the Death Cafe movement just kind of exploded worldwide.
Because there's so much we don't talk about with the people closest to us, isn't there?
And that's what intrigued me about this Death Cafe idea and the whole festival. And after I thought about it, I realized that people don't have a lot of places to go to talk about these difficult subjects. So having a safe place to express your feelings, to express your fears, to express your grief or your philosophy. I mean, there are not very many places you can sit around a table and talk about this. I mean, even at church, people don't want to hear the bad stuff. So you know at a death cafe that people are going to listen to you and that you're going to be safe with your words and your feelings.
And a lot of times if you try to talk to the people closest to you, if it's your kids, they're like, Mom, I can't talk about that. I can't talk. No, we're not going there. And if it's your sweetheart, your spouse, your partner, they're like, oh, we're both going to live forever, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's the fear of the loss. And I think that's why it is more difficult to speak with family sometimes, yeah. Although it's obviously super crucial, which is, you know, part of what we hope that the festival accomplishes.
So there, we've only just touched the tip of the iceberg here. Tell us about some of the other events that are happening, and is this for everyone? Are there some events that maybe older children might come to?
Sure. I think it is for everyone. Probably as far as a younger crowd, Crown Hill is doing one of the Before I Die walls that the artist Candy Chang started down in New Orleans. And again, those have spread all over the world. So they're going to have one. And I think that even a child can conceptualize a bucket list item, mm-hmm. Certainly. But so there's going to be fine arts. Obviously, we've got the Stutz exhibit. We've got the IUPUI Arts and Humanities Institute partnering with Big Car on their kind of bringing back their Ask an Expert series that they did as part of Spark last. I think that was back in the fall. Mm-hmm. We've got the IMA doing gallery talks. And then we've also got faith-based events for the secular humanist community. Indy Reads actually was our very first community partner to step on board and say, yes, we're going to do this event. Here's the book we want to discuss. So they'll be doing a book discussion of Dr. Atul Gawande's Being Mortal, which I think has a lot of people have read and has a huge impact on them when they do read it. So it is really all over the place, which is what we wanted.
Absolutely. Lee, are you personally doing a piece for this, or are you the impresario?
I'm mostly the impresario. I have a couple of pieces I would like to put in, but I'm going to have to get some advice because it's not really fair for me to judge and
sure.
then put a piece in
sure.
myself.
Sure. We're having this conversation a month before the festival. Can you tell me about some of the art that you've seen slides of, or maybe you've actually seen pieces that are works in progress?
I've seen works in progress, and I've asked for works in progress. It's my habit to work with artists as they produce work and kind of keep tabs on them. Keeping tabs on artists is like herding cats. I think I've said that before. we have encaustic. We have paper works on paper. We have handmade paper. We have a sculpture, a freestanding sculpture made of felt, of a loved one's wool shirt.
Oh, wow.
And different articles of clothing. Some very abstract pieces, some pieces that kind of remind you of Escher, where there's someone coming down an upside-down staircase and someone going up on the lower part of the canvas. Really powerful, interesting pieces. I'm so glad that we did this.
And this is a question for each of you. What do you want people to do, feel, think, say, be after they participate in one or more of the events? I'll start with Lee.
For the art exhibit, I want people to be able to view the art and connect with it. And hopefully we're going to have a poetry reading. I know we're going to have poetry readings, not hopefully poetry readings, but hopefully the two art forms will come together in such a way that it will spark conversations, if not at the gallery, then when the patrons go home and think about what they've seen and done and who they've talked to.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer?
Yeah, I think that the main goal for us is if we can decrease that taboo and make it comfortable to pose questions, ask questions. Again, in the moment, there might be conversations that are happening among attendees, but then certainly we hope later upon reflection that people who did participate will maybe get up that courage to have the conversation with a loved one or to let someone know what their wishes are and to maybe actually sit down and get some paperwork accomplished. But for the event itself, it's mainly conversation.
Is this going to become an annual affair? She's like, oh, I'm hip deep in it right now. Don't ask me yet.
We really have no idea. That would be great, you know, if it was something ongoing. But for the time being, we've got, you know, 25, I think, plus events going on over that weekend. Hopefully something for everyone. But certainly, I think that continue conversation post-festival and people feeling like they have resources and that they have places to go, that's going to be – keep it going even if the festival per se was not a repeat.
Sure. So you're hearing it here, folks. Don't say, I'll do it next year. Come to the festival this year.
It's so important that people feel comfortable talking about this subject. I know families who have lost a child and never mentioned the child. No one is to mention the child to them. And that can be so damaging, so emotionally damaging to the rest of the family not to have an outlet on their feelings.
Sharon Gamble with Jennifer Vine with the Before I Die Festival and Lee Dunnington-Jones with the Stutz Art Gallery. The festival is April 14th through the 17th, and you can learn more at tinyurl.com/BIDFIndie. That's BIDF for Before I Die Fest Indie.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owls Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. when I'll chat with author Angela Jackson Brown about how one of her stories is being turned into a play.
I'll get a preview of this year's Indiana Artisan Marketplace, and we'll have that arts calendar we call What Will We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.